Here we go, niños y niñas, señores y señoritas, luchadores and luchadores. Right now, on a Trending Topics Network, we're going to bring to you Lucha Chat. Lucha Chat is the podcast that chats everything about Lucha Underground. And we also get to interview a lot of the Lucha Underground stars. And right here, I'm the host, Finn Fish. And this is episode 62 of Lucha Chat. And on this week's show, we're going to cover episode 10 of season 3 of Lucha Underground, titled Ready for War. We're going to have some Lucha news. We're going to give out our next interview person that we're going to interview, and we are going to have so much more. But first, how the hell are you guys doing? Ooh, yeah, that presidential election. Yeah, it's all good because you're listening to Lucha Chat, so you're going to be in a great mood after we get done with this episode, so don't even worry about any of that. But let's get into some Lucha news. Something cool right here. Are you into Lucha Mask? I know I am. And so how about this from Mask Republic announcing a new Lucha Mask of the Month Club. The company announced a Lucha Loot Mini subscription runs about $10 a month and will be able to deliver fans a brand new Lucha Libre mask direct from Mexico City directly to your door monthly. So it's like a Lucha crate, or you heard those loot crates and stuff like that, but just with the mask. So I'm thinking about signing up for this one. I like to get the quality of the mask first, but once it goes a month by, you can probably find out what mask was already sent out, and I want to check that out because I'm definitely into some Lucha masks. And also, in some not so great news, we had Rey Fénix, known to us as a Fénix in Lucha Underground, had a separated shoulder last week. He's planning to be okay. He'll return pretty soon, only a few weeks off. He'll be back November 18th in Guadalajara. So it looks like this nothing too big. He'll come back from that very easily. In our last little bit of Lucha news is some Lucha Chat news, where on definitely next week's show, just because the timing is just a little off for this week's show, we're going to have Marty the Moth Martinez. Look out, watch out right now. So if you have any questions for Marty the Moth, go ahead and hit me up. And it is simple, easy to do. It is on the Twitter, Finfish, SCU. Send me an email to my Gmail account, which is finfishscu@gmail.com. And one of the most popular ways to reach the show is through the chat line. It's simple. You just dial 702-803-2428, 702-803-CHAT. And we could chat Lucha Libre all night long. But yeah, if seriously you got any questions for me to ask him, go there or any of those means of ways. And this week someone had wanted to chit chat and they wanted to know how I felt about the cruiserweights in the WWE and them getting their own show, the 205, the weight class that they're in. And I mostly cover, you know, Lucha, so, but there's some Lucha stars in there. Let's say Dorato, and, you know, Gran Metalik, and, you know, Sin Cara. So, you know, we cover them guys as well, you know, not just because they're Mexican, it's just a Lucha thing I like to do. But, really thinking about this, I think I like it. I like it a lot more because I'm really into the Lucha style. Cedric Alexander, for example, it's just so great in that high-flying style with the high impactful moves. So I'm not disliking it. I just don't like them being on Raw. You know, let these guys just build off their own show. Even get some Lucha, you know, or some cruiserweight tag teams on there. Even cruiserweight intercontinental titles, something like that, to that effect. Just give them their own show. It's cool. You know, the WWE is scooping up anyone and everyone, and people going there wonder if they have a spot or a slot. You know, hey, you're paying me all this money, but can I sell my brand? Am I going to be on TV? So this is a way to get all these guys they signed on TV with their own little show. Funny enough, they didn't keep it on Wednesday nights. I see the Cruiserweight Classic was on Wednesday nights. Hey, and maybe they don't want to go against Lucha Underground. I can't believe that. But the 205 show will be on Tuesday nights. So we'll give you some updates on that as well. So, you know, just in case you wanted to check out some of the luchadors they do have down in the Cruiserweight division on 205. All right, we did the introductions, we did the Lucha News, we told you about our next interview. So all thing we can do now is hit that fighting music as we get into episode 10 of season 3 of Lucha Underground. Ready for war. And we start this episode off with Emir Mortis just kneeling down. Katrina saying, "And you have defeated Prince Puma before, but this time I want him gasping for air." Miss Mortis is getting madder and madder, and Katrina tells him, "Now this time, if you leave, I would not bring you back." And now Miro Mortis has the most intensifying face on his face as now we start the show as we get Matt Stryker and Vampiro walking us to the temple, and it is now for our first lucha of the night. It is Mascarita Sagrada taking on a famous B&A Believers Backlash match. Let me switch the intensity up because this is a fun ass match. Had me laughing out loud the whole time. It's just right off the bat. These two are outside the ring. Mascarita Sagrada puts on football pads and a football helmet and runs into Famous B's groin area. It's hilarious. And I like the fact that they mentioned this is the Boyle Heights High School football team helmet. But this match is hilarious. We even see a guy holding a large thing of popcorn, a large bag of popcorn. And we get Famous B holding the popcorn running at Mascarita Sagrada. Mascarita Sagrada trips. Famous B spreads the popcorn everywhere. A lot of the weapons these guys use, it's just a great, entertaining match. Oh, I'm just trying to name off all the cool stuff they got to use in this match. All the references during this match. We got a Duke the Dumpster Drossy reference in this match. As we see Mascarita Sagrada using a trash can lid to beat the hell out of Famous B. We even see them teasing Mascarita pulling out a ladder off the ring, and they're like, "What is it, 10 foot, 12 foot? He pulls out a 3-foot ladder, believe it or not, and can count the rungs. So, they put the Mascarita Sagrada puts the ladder on top of the announce table, climbs up the ladder, and jumps on Famous B. I'm telling you, this is so hilarious. Just the weapons and the ideas that they use. We get Famous B not using too many weapons. You know, just a lot of kicks and punches to Mascarita Sagrada. When he does get a chance, he puts Mascarita Sagrada in the trash can, grabs two polo sticks, and has Mascarita in the trash can and starts banging on the trash can. He puts the sticks down, turns around, and we get a Sesame Street reference before they even finish the reference. I've gotten it. As we see Mascarita popping out like Oscar the Grouch on Famous B. We get a little bit of interference as we have a Dr. Wagner Jr. Pushing Mascarita Sagrada off the top ropes. And then we get Son of Havoc coming down to help clear that mess out. We have even Melissa Santos that has a weapon, which is a large pair of scissors that come into play The first time when Famous B is being hung by his tie off the second rope by Masquerita Sagrada, the beautiful Brenda goes over there and cuts them off. We even get a this is funny. I'm telling you, this match was great. This is hilarious. We get Famous B's costume from Return Brenda into the pretty Brenda. We have his costume. Masquerita Sagrada puts that on. He goes to a bag, waves his magical wand, and pops out, or he pulls out, a bowling ball, New Jack style, which they didn't make the reference to that, balls the ball right into Famous B's balls. We get Dr. Wagner being there as well with this, going to hit Masquerita Sagrada. This is the part I missed. Going to hit Masquerita Sagrada with a painting, and Famous B stops him like, oh, that's a picture of me. And he's admiring the painting, and that's when Santa Havoc, they scary off with them. We also get the beautiful Brenda getting hit in the face with a cream pie from Masquerita Sagrada on a pure accident. But this match is so funny. We even get an essence. That's right, from Rick the Martyr Martel. We get that spelt totally differently. And he sprays that Famous B's eyes, but they made a reference. If Master goes, if this leads to a blindfold match, I'm going to quit. But let's just roll into the finish of this cool-ass match. We get Masquerita Sagrada grabbing the shoe for Matt Striker. Matt Striker's like, yeah, but he told us to bring a weapon. I brought one of my shoes. This is a big-ass, damn, gigantic-ass shoe, maybe a size 16 or so. It sends itself to the top ropes. It throws the shoe at Famous B. Famous B is destructive just momentarily. Masquerita Sagrada looks like he jumps the leap for a cross body, but switches it around to a tornado DDT. 1, 2, 3, and your winner of our first lucha of the night, Masquerita Sagrada. Famous B's are there whining and crying, but this is pretty funny because they had a full cutout of Famous B and his this Get Fame sign, the 4, 2, 3 Get Fame. And we get another reference to the scissors as Masquerita Sagrada cuts the head off the sign, as we already had Son of Havoc returning. And Son of Havoc has a gift from Masquerita Sagrada. It is none other than a jacket, that motor jacket that Son of Havoc wears. He gives one to Masquerita Sagrada. Now we are in the locker room where we have Dante Fox getting ready for his match later on. And a pops kill shot. Kill shot goes, Dante, yo, Dante, I heard Derek Quinto gave you a job here. And Dante's like, yeah, from what I did from you last week, he's impressed. He goes, yeah, but we're on the same team this week. We can get over this like we did before, man. Me and you back together on the same team. And they two embrace, but we see a weird look on Dante's face. Now we move over to the land of where Drago worships. It seems like the Bear Throne. As Cobra Moon pops up, Cobra Moon's like, oh man, you getting in shape to come back to the tribe? Drago's like, I'm never coming back to that tribe here. All right, no dice. He goes, oh, you know what? Yeah, it's okay, because the same thing is going to happen to you as it happened to Daga. Pindar. Pindar is back. Pindar will make you get on your knees and worship your queen. And we see a look of concern as Drago says, Pindar? Pindar's alive? Yes, he is. And we get this goofy guy that steps into the restroom. This is a good line because I've been asking this for weeks. He goes, he walks in, sees the two chatting. He goes, you know what? I'll just go use the ladies' room. I think that's hilarious because I always mention, is this the men's room? Is this a unisex bathroom? What's going on? So that was that, though. And our second lucha of the night, it is a 5-on-5 tag team match where the winning team gets a slot in Aztec Warfare. We have the team of Killshot, Dante Fox, Argenis, Tahano, and Cage taking on the Mac, Mariposa, Marty the Moth, Ivelisse, and Jeremiah, and damn, this is combustible. Derek Quinto likes doing these type of matches, and I guess they didn't want to call it an Atomicals match, but you could have named it the same. Let's just break down the people that are in feuds. We get Dante Fox and Killshot, who's in a big rivalry. We just had Killshot take on Marty the Moth. We had Marty the Muff and Eva Lees and Jeremiah. So we had Marty the Muff. Mariposa taking on Eva Lees and Jeremiah. The Mac does not like the Muff and Mariposa. We get Cage and Tejano on their own little thing, with Tejano being down 2-1 in the Ultimate Opportunity. The only guy that does not have a feud, which they pointed out, and I have pointed out a ton on this show, is Art Hennis. But this is not much of a match. We do get to see Dante Fox doing some wacky front flip, but backwards onto his opponents as he's on the top rope and they're outside the ring. Arhanis gets some good moves, gets some dives in, but early on in the match we get Cage and Tejano arguing outside the ring. We see Eva Lees leave with a kid a move, but rolled her ankle somehow, so Jeremiah's out there helping on her. But let's just roll into the finish pretty much, as we had Eva Lees hitting a sunset flip on Killshot, which I thought was a three. I am not believing it. But I thought it was a three count. But he kicked out. We have now Killshot in the ring with Marty the Muff. Has Marty the Muff just reeling, and then Dante Fox stops him to do something. And Dante Fox hits Killshot with that, like, cross DDT. Pretty sick. We just see Marty Muff looking on like an idiot. He jumps down, splash, 1, 2, 3. His team wins. The winning team is the Mac, Mariposa, Marty the Muff, Eva Lees, and Jeremiah. And I really hope Eva Lees is an injured. But this is pretty much just, you know, just a great match. Good storytelling, just to bring everyone's story in together and then spread them apart. But I like this a lot. I like the fact that they pointed out Art Hennis has nothing to do with anything. And Dante Fox, he's always stopping Killshot to show off. So hopefully that plays in. But I'm not really liking AR Fox in this capacity right now. Yeah, but so let's give him a few more chances before I really dump on who or how his character is. Because he took his dog tags off, so I guess he's not his brother anymore, but he needs something to connect the two. I mean, he kept the name, you know, Fox, but, you know, something, you know, Code Dave Fox or something like that, but it's okay as we just roll on to the next. Now we get Scenes of the City, as now I believe we are in the warehouse that houses Matanza Cuarto, as Dario Cuarto is saying. Next week, you will be going through 19 other competitors. Our father has been training you for this all your lives. You know what you must have to do. As Matanza is sitting behind his cage, just clapping his hands. Honestly, I didn't believe that Aztec Warfare would be next week, but I'm glad to see it. And it's going to be hard to believe that Matanza could be the first person entered into Aztec Warfare and end up keeping his Lucha Underground world title. We have to see. But if you have any predictions, you know, maybe except for Matanza, go ahead and send them in. But now it's time for our third and final Lucha of the night. We have the first ever Lucha Underground world champion, Prince Puma, taking on the man who defeated him for that title, the second ever Lucha Underground world champion, Mil Muertes, in a grave consequences match. And Mil Muertes doesn't too good in this match, because he is 0-2, losing to Phoenix and also Matanza Cuarto. But as we get the announcements for these gladiators, we have from beyond the grave, Mil Muertes, and right as she finishes that, bam, Prince Puma pounces all over Mil Muertes, and then Max Striker just finishes up the announcement and telling us from Boy Eyes, it's Prince Puma. And damn, right off the bat, like I said, they just fighting, and they were at the top of the steps when you seen Prince Puma hit Mil Muertes from behind, and then Prince Puma's like, shit, he jumps into the crowd as well as these two guys attack each other. And usually when we have seen the Grave Consequences matches, we have seen them bringing out the ceremonial stuff to the ring. I guess they had to cut that out, but it was there, and they had the casket, which is pretty good, which had one half was Mir Mortis, the other half of the face on the casket was one was Mil Mortis, the other one's Prince Puma. So that was a nice little touch to that. But damn, this is, once again, these guys play off each other so well. Too bad we don't get to see this matchup in AAA. Oh, hold on. Before I get too far into this match, I got to say this. Prince Puma is, this guy is just so damn fantastic. He goes to, we have Mil Mortis setting up Prince Puma for the flatliner. He hits the flatliner. Hold on a second. He goes down. They're always going down in a downward motion. Prince Puma puts his hands up to, like, stop himself. Mil Mortis is now, like, falling down from trying to give this maneuver. And he looks up at Prince Puma, because Prince Puma just pops back up as he puts his hands back on the ground, pops up, and looks at Mil Mortis. They look at each other, and Prince Puma kicks the holy fuck out of this dude. That was a good reversal that I have never seen before for the Flatliner. But these two are going just back and forth, and I like the aspect of showing how strong and how powerful these two are. Even though it's a great consequences match, we see Prince Puma just giving it all he got, but there's one scene where he has to pull the casket with both hands, and he's dragging it around to get into position, and he finally gets it into the ring, set up, and all that good stuff. He hits a springboard 450, bam, but it seems like the casket is not in the right order, and they go, oh, Prince Puma, you know, it's not used to these matches, maybe not used to working with caskets, knowing it doesn't open that way. So it's like another step for him to do, which he could have Mil Mortis already given. And another scene we cut to is where we got Mil Mortis just dragging that casket in one hand, putting it in the ring and such. And I like the fact that they took down the bottom turnbuckle. So when pushing this damn thing into the ring made it a lot easier. But that's one of given to be one of Mil Mortis' signature things, is taking off the turnbuckle and getting that that tool that holds the ring and the turnbuckles and all that stuff together to strike his opponent. But that's pretty cool and all. We get Prince Puma. This is sick. Prince Puma gets Mil Mortis halfway into the casket. His head is inside, and you see him slamming a door on Mil Mortis. Mil Mortis is just hanging there. Prince Puma leaves, comes back with a chair, and just starts beating the hell out of the casket with the chair, with Mil Mortis hanging halfway out of it. Some other great scenes, we have Mil Mortis bringing back the same casket they put Conan in, and some symbolic thing like that. But here's a smart move. I don't know if they edited it or not. We had Mil Mortis pick up the casket, not like that easily, but gets it up, gets it into the ring, brings out that little, skirt thing that's underneath it on the wheels, the gurney for the casket, and then puts the casket on top of the gurney. So I thought that was a pretty cool touch. Just, you know, it takes a lot of time to do all this setting up, but I like the fact that they brought out this casket that housed Conan at one time. I was like, holy shit, Conan's gonna pop out of that damn thing. But yeah, he didn't. But it was just such a great match. Let's just obviously get into the finish of this one. Check this match out. These two guys are great in the ring together. We have Mil Mortis just hitting that flatliner. Oops, sticks Prince Puma in the casket. And ding, 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 your winner of the final lucha of the night, none other than Mil Mortis. And I like to say, and like them, the match tracker was saying, will we ever see Prince Puma again now that he's in his casket? So I don't know if this is the writing off of Prince Puma. I thought it was going to come later on in the season, but given that a lot of companies have wanted Prince Puma, Lucha Underground is going to write them off, but I didn't think it was at this instance. But they can. I mean, this is one of the ways they can write them off, because a lot of people who have entered that casket have not come back, except for Mil Muertes, who is basically a mourner with the help of Katrina. So there you go. And just in case, I know you like this part, just in case you missed any of that, here's the recap of the recap. We have Mascarita Sagrada beating Famous B in a Believer's Backlash match. We had the team of Ivelisse, Jeremiah, Marty the Moth, Mariposa, and the Mac beating Killshot, Dante Fox, Arjanes, Tejano, and Cage to be able to participate in Aztec Warfare. And we had Mil Muertes sticking Prince Puma in a casket to win their match. Here are some more of my thoughts on this episode of Lucha Underground and Lucha Underground as a whole. As we've seen already, seven members of the Lucha Underground roster would not be participating in Aztec Warfare. They won't be able to enter the Aztec Warfare match. So that means they got a lot of people on the roster, right? I mean, maybe next time they could be a 25-man Aztec Warfare match, or even push it up to 30, you know, bring some guys back or whatever it needs to be. So that's going to be pretty cool. Hopefully they could maybe have 15 here and 15 there, something like that. Split the roster in half and have, I don't know, just let's get everyone something to do, right? But so far, seven people aren't going to be able to make it. So that's cool. So we can narrow down who else on the roster is going to be entered in this match. We already know who, but some other people, I don't think Prince Puma's going to make it, right? And now that we know Daga's not going to make it, damn. I haven't heard Daga's name in months. And yeah, Daga dead. At least they mentioned what had happened to Daga. A lot of other people, they haven't said or hinted around what had happened to them. And maybe we'll find out what happened to Dark Claw. I mean, he was there one match and now he's dark gone. So maybe they could have him come on back. That would be pretty cool. But I guess I don't want to do this, but since we brought him back last week, we're going to have Booker T, I believe, up next.
Man, dog, what you mean Booker T up next, man? Booker T here right now for you suckers.
I mean, you could have waited more for your cue, Booker. I mean, damn, you know, I mean, we could talk a little, chat back and forth.
Man, dog, Booker T ain't here to play around. Booker T trying to teach these suckers some of that El Español.
I feel you, Booker. So let's just hit your music, right?
You got it, dog.
Can you dig it, sucker?
This is the five-time World WCW Champion. And now can you dig that? Suckers. Now, the first word Booker T gonna teach you, suckers, is Casfaste Soul. Meaning sunglasses. Booker T gonna use it in a sentence. You wanna look cool? Make sure you wear your Casfaste souls while indoors. In the next word, Booker T gonna teach you, suckers, is sombrero, meaning hat. Booker T gotta use it in a sense for you, suckers. Finfish has a collection of customized sombreros. And now that you learned Casfaste soul and sombrero, put them both on for a nice generic disguise. And now can you dig that? Suckers!
Oh man, thank you, Booker T. You finally gave me some props for my hat collection. Damn it, I know he's gone. Oh, but people, don't forget sombrero and gafas de sol, sunglasses, I believe that is. But if you want Booker T to stick around a lot longer, but to teach you any words in Espanol, go ahead and hit me up and I'll get a contact with him. He's kind of a hard guy to get a hold of, but we pay him pretty good here on New Chat. See there, mi amigos. I believe we are finito. And before we go, I want to thank all of you for listening to this show. I want to definitely thank the Trendy Topics Network for letting this show happen on their network. I want to thank Mrs. Five Types of Cool and in New Orleans, who's out there getting us some interviews, talking to the Lucha Star. She'd probably do that anyway without me. But I'm glad that she's helping me out behind the scenes here. I want to thank my other podcast partner on What's On Fight. Check that out. Also on the Trinity Topics Network, Mr. Fourth Row, where I had a few questions already for Marty the Moth. Don't forget to get yours in from none other than the Twisted It Savage, the Twisted Savage. But I'm guessing we got to thank Booker T, I believe, for that lesson in El Español, little lesson in Spanish. Other than that, adios.